Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Bear with me today because I woke up with a sinus infection, an otitis. My whole face is infected. So I'm going to try to deliver the show, but I'm going to try to speak less dynamic than usual. I'm going to try to use my normal JF voice. And I'm not going to perform very well on the mic, and maybe I'll cut the show short. But I've taken so many anti-allergy and anti-inflammatory pills. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling okay. So maybe I'll be able to go through the show. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Surya says it's winter, so she's kind of pale. She says she is a single red-skinned female. Can somebody give me a hug? Well, it depends how old are you, because if you are in the age of reproduction, you will get a lot of hugs from the people in this chat. If you are older than the age of reproduction, then it's pretty much down all the way from here. This is Peak Global Homo Physiognomy. This is their dream, the reason for the struggle and motivation for the project. This, to them, is what victory looks like. I have never seen someone pack so many... pack so many positions of... subgroups and minorities into a single look. this person is Jewish, as the Zoomer haircut, is gay, is trans, as the gay earring, looks kind of distressed in their sight, and so might suffer from depression. This person has all of the oppressed categories, and perhaps 25% Middle Eastern, 25% African, 25% European. You can't make this up. This is the ideal leftist look. completely undistinguishable from where they've been, where they come from. Toby says, yo, JF, Pearly Things joined Jesse Lee Peterson's chat today. So I asked why she didn't accept King JF's offer. She replied that she didn't know who JF is. Well, I'm the guy who trained Nick Fuentes. I'm the guy who made Nick Fuentes a a celebrity, so she should know about me. That's so unfortunate. There's no one out there to preserve internet history and to explain to the new internet celebrities what kind of field they work in. That is really too bad that she doesn't know who JF is, you know, because here she surfs on a Nick Fuentes wave of fame. She should know that Nick Fuentes was thanking me for inviting him on my big shows back in the days when he had a small show. So tell that next time you cross Pearly Things, but also tell her that I have withdrawn my offer because this offer has expired. She hasn't grabbed it. And that's what mostly I was interested in with this offer. I want to demonstrate when Pearly Things is 40 years old and childless, I want to demonstrate that she had a chance and she didn't grab it. I want it to be right there on the record, right there on a tweet that you can retweet in 15 years from now. There it is. You refused it. You chose to be childless. So don't come to me about finding Mr. Right. Mr. Right, this is Papa JF. I have a 140 IQ. I have a standing theory of biology, which will be retained forever by human civilization. This is not even Mr. Right at this point. It's Mr. Up there, you know, Mr. I want to suck your dick. That's my hope for Pearly Things, is that she ends up admitting that she has chosen to be childless. We have lots of news. That's too bad that I'm feeling a little a little inflammated on the face, because there's exciting news that I'd love to deliver with my best voice. Rizita says, Kyberswap hacker message to the team. Oh my God, this is painful, this message, because oh my God, what does this guy want? He took the money of all the people who were involved in Kyberswap. Kyberswap, you know these smart contracts. Kyberswap made an error. They only allowed a rounding of the numbers of shares. But because when you deposit into these smart contracts, one of the big mathematical problems is, okay, you brought $5. JF brought $10. This other guy brought $5. Now you have $20 in a pot. But this $20 will grow or will lose value because the smart contract is doing trading, it's collecting fees. So every smart contract faces this problem of how do I determine how much JF has, how many shares JF has, how many shares this guy who sent $5 has, how many shares this guy who sent another $5, but at a different time point. So just the calculation of who owns the shares in a smart contract is hyper-crucial. Kyberswap did a rounding. And these things, sometimes you don't have a choice. You have to round, but you have to round conservatively if you're going to do it. Because if you round in the growth direction, if instead of giving me 1.3 shares for my $5, the smart contract gives me 1.5 shares or 1.4 shares, then there is something to be exploited here. All I have to do is send to the smart contract just the right amount to be rounded up. So I send this amount a million times. And now I have $1 million that don't really belong to me, that's ascribed to me by the smart contract. This is what has been done to Kyberswap. The Kyberswap hacker found that there was a rounding error, deposited the exact amount, found the exact smallest amount possible that he could deposit to trigger that rounding error, and accumulated shares and shares and shares, and then withdrew all the money because suddenly he was a big owner of the shares. That is what the Kyberswap hack is about. And now the Kyberswap hacker says to all relevant and or interested parties, I thank you for your attention and patience during this uncertain time for Kyber, as well as Kyber, the company. Below, I have delineated a treaty for us to agree to. My demands are as follows. Complete executive control over Kyber, the company. Temporary full authority and ownership over the governance mechanism, Kyber DAO, in order to enact legislative changes. My current wallet address is fine for this. All documents and information related to the company slash protocol formation, structure, operation, revenues, profits, expenses, assets, liabilities, investors, salaries, etc. Surrender of all the Kyber company assets. This is both on-chain and off-chain assets. It includes, but is not limited to, shares, equity, tokens, KNC and non-KNC, partnerships, blogs, websites, servers, passwords, code, social channels, any and all creative and intellectual property of Kyber. Once my demands have been met, I will provide the following. Executives, you will be bought out of the company at a fair valuation. You will be wished well for your future endeavors. You haven't done anything wrong. A small error was made, rounding in the wrong direction. It could have been made by anyone. Simply bad luck. Employees, under the new regime, your salary will be doubled. It is understandable that many current employees will want to leave regardless. The employees who don't want to stay will be given a 12-month severance with full benefits and assistance in finding a new career, no questions asked. Token holders and investors, under this treaty, your tokens will no longer be worthless. Is this not sweet enough? I will go further still. Under my management, Kyber will undergo a complete makeover. It will no longer be the seventh most popular DEX, but rather an entirely new cryptographic project. LPs, liquidity providers, you will be gifted a rebate on your recent market-making activities. The rebate will be for 50% of the losses you have incurred. I know this is probably less than what you wanted, however, it is also more than you deserve. This is my best offer. This is my only offer. I require my demands to be met by December 10th, otherwise the treaty falls through. Additionally, should I be contacted by agents from any of the 206 sovereignties, that is, countries, concerning the trades I placed on Kyber, the treaty falls through. In this case, rebates will total to exactly zero. Kyber is one of the original, and so I will note something here that we have seen in other hacks. And hack, you know, you have to ask yourself if it's a legitimate term in these cases, because he says the trades I placed on Kyber. This guy is like these autistic hackers that I've seen before that say, no, I'm not a hacker. I haven't hacked. I played the game. You guys have set up a game and I saw a rounding error. So I played that game. I'm just a better trader than you guys. And that is a conception that many people who do these so-called hacks have, that they are not hackers. Because he didn't use a fake password, he didn't use an entry. Arguably, he may not have committed a crime. That is what's fascinating here. DK Shadow says, code is law. Yeah, exactly. So that's the principle that many hackers go by, that this was the feature of the smart contract. There may be people who haven't used that feature. I used it because it was there. They should not have engaged in a game that they didn't understand. Kyber is one of the original and longest-running DeFi protocols. No one wants to see it go under. To assist with this transition of leadership, I may be contacted on Telegram at Kyber Director. Thank you, Kyber Director. Listen. These demands are so incredibly high, I don't see them happening. I mean, can you imagine this company of crypto revealing all of their info, dumping all of their info publicly? There would probably be crimes in there. They would probably end up in jail, you know? if they just show all of their interactions, there's going to be a crime in there for the SEC to find. So his demands are so intense, I don't see it happening, honestly. So it does seem that this money will have inflamed itself. It would be interesting to see what happens if the community decide to go this way, but you have to have so many people agree onto this transfer. It would be the whole company, the people who have the keys, the people who have the passwords to the server. It's actually hard for an existing company to get this going. You know, the transfer of all assets. Imagine to a hacker. But it's interesting to see the personality of this guy through his writing. The interview by Richard Spencer, between Richard Spencer and Nick Fuentes, that was an excellent interview. That was really good stuff. It's two friends of mine that I highly respect their intellect, and it shows. It shows in this conversation because, first, Richard is successful at getting more details about the whole Ye story, and Nick Fuentes goes into much more details than he's been before. I don't know if he's gone into these details on his show, but those are details that personally I didn't know about. So, for example, he says that, it's the whole marriage with this girl, and then he left the country. And it does look like Ye was running out of cash and that the cancellation hit him hard. So it's super interesting to see this, to see an historical look back at this moment of history where somehow Ye have let into his surrounding Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes. And Nick says that when he first saw Ye as part of this whole campaign, Ye was just having a scrap, a notebook in which he was drawing swastikas. mean, you can't make this up. Ye was like in his ruminations, in his thought, and drawing swastikas and being inspired by Hitler. And this led to him and Nick Fuentes encountering Donald Trump, and he tells the story in much more details. That was a great moment. There's also a very big intellectual portion of this interview where Richard goes into Israel and how desperate the current mood of the Israeli supporters is. And I agree with this observation. I think they are presenting the case of Gaza as being a kind of last-ditch effort that they allow themselves to do it now because they know it's not going to be easier in the future. In other words, the support for Israel is dwindling and they know it. And Jonathan Greenblatt has been saying that there's a generational problem. An entire generation of people is rising who are absolutely unsympathetic to Israel. And there is a lot of components to it. There is the left, there is the right. The left is kind of raised on an anti-capitalist, anti-war machine type of direction. The right is raised on a more liberty axis. But these two converges that the next generation, left or right, isn't pro-Israel to the point of supporting them through a genocide. So basically, Israel is currently committing the genocide of Gaza because they know it's their last moment in history. And that is extremely white-pilling to think that in the future, they will simply not have, thanks to the effort of the people who have exposed Jewish influence on Western civilization, that control is dwindling and is going to be gone at some point. John Drake says, no, there is an awareness problem. The gates are open. DK Shadow says, need to get that last bombing in. Yeah, I mean, it's super interesting to think of the fact that they may be so desperate because they know it's the end. Because they know in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, there is no Israel getting away with these things, with the media, the technology, the social media. Once the boomers who are still hanging on to their cable TV subscription, when these people are dead, there's nothing left for Israel to grab. It's going to be a whole population that will be aware of their actions. Israel pounds southern Gaza as officials say long war expected for a year or more. You know, I had said this when they said you have to leave northern Gaza. And they present this as, oh, well, we're telling people, so it's not like we're striking civilians. These civilians have decided to stay there. The problem is you can't make an invasion slice by slice of a country by arguing, well, I told the civilians to go out of this place. At this point, they have told the civilians, go out from North Gaza. But now they're saying, go get out of South Gaza. So basically, it's like, if you stay in place, we're going to bomb you. If you do leave, you might be shot by random Israeli snipers here and there. And ultimately, we will take every inch of where you live until you're outside of what we consider ours. Men Like Gods says, Israel is using an AI targeting system programmed to maximize civilian death. I wouldn't be surprised that something like this is happening. Not that I know, but It's incredible in 2023 to see that much civilian death. It is something that I didn't expect from what considers itself to be a developed nation. I've never considered Israel a developed nation. I've always considered Israel kind of a country that benefits from a level of development that it cannot do itself. In other words, Israel receives so many funds from the US that it developed itself more than the area. But the genetics of the people there, in my view, do not justify an overdeveloped civilization. I think at best, on their own, they would have achieved kind of the average Arab nation level of wealth, and not the Arab nations with oil. The Arab nations like that are average among the Arab nations. Shady Jesus says they get Starbucks but couldn't make their own Starbucks. Yeah, so it's a very bizarre situation to have a bunch of people who are Middle Easterners who their civilizations would have converged toward the level of wealth and productivity of a Middle Eastern nation, but they have this extra bonus, which is the corruption of US and Western officials in general. So that's the situation with Israel currently using American technology to commit a genocide. And, you know, for those who say, well, you use a word that is way too grave. There was a Gaza a month ago, and now there's no more Gaza. So how do you call this if it's not a genocide? I mean, merely taking a whole population and moving them out of there would have been a genocide, because you completely eradicate the ability of a group to live. You put them in a situation where they can only dilute themselves with whatever country welcomes them. So, yeah, I stand by the word. It is the right word. Apparently, some right-wingers are true visionaries. They had detected the gayness of the Ain't Got a Dollar guy, the guy who sings Richmond north of Richmond. Owen Benjamin and Nick Fuentes here claim a scalp. They claim that they had seen the gayness before, and today, Northman Rich of Richmond has published this picture coming out of the closet, seemingly indicating that he is gay. He doesn't say I'm gay explicitly, but it's very gay as a photo. And the way he poses, it's always been weird how this guy was hiring plumbers as his agents. And it's like, bro, you're hiring a plumber as your booking agent. That's more like you're getting fucked in the ass by this guy, and you decided that he would also manage your trip. So there was something weird in this relationship with, you know, traveling in pickup trucks with guys to do these guitar shows. But now I understand it was his butt boys. And perhaps his dismissal of the other plumber guy and changing for this guy, perhaps that is a switch of butt boy. Anyways, I don't exactly understand how gay relationships work, but Owen Benjamin says, I want apology letters written to my Idaho address and a generous donation. It's extremely valuable to have someone like me point out exactly who the gay shills are months before it's obvious. And if you sang along to his despair song and screamed, "This is America," and you're just jealous to people like me, I want to be compensated. So apparently Nick Fuentes had said, this guy is gay. Owen Benjamin had said, this guy is gay. I have to admit it, it didn't cross my mind. It all makes sense, but I don't have a developed gaydar. I am so much better at detecting Jews. My gaydar perhaps needs to be worked on. I never really had concerns about gays, you know, approaching me or me not detecting that someone was gay and it hurting me eventually. So I never really needed a gaydar. But credit to Nick Fuentes and Owen Benjamin, that was well seen. When you think about it, there is a bunch of gays out there who are, you know, the style of gays with a beard that are more like lumberjack type gays. There is such a thing. And, you know, in the YMCA song, they are represented by a more masculine looking, but you know he's gay, you know, kind of gay. So I guess that this particular kind of gay is the hardest to kind of identify. John Drake calls them bears. Okay, bears, that is the term. So gays with beards, bears. James says, that is not gay, it is just shitty comedy. The guy on the right, comedian, that does this kind of terrible comedy. Okay, maybe he's not gay, maybe he's just saying, oh look, I'm sympathetic to gays, and so I can act gay, and I don't feel threatened in my masculinity. Yeah, that's gay enough to me, that's gay enough to be called gay. Doubting Thomas says, JF, that's with a comedian whose joke is a natural fat drunk guy who always takes his shirt off. His name is Bert Kreischer. Really? I mean, you guys are informing me about aspects of American comedy that I didn't know about. Okay, so this guy has a comedy pattern, and it's to always have his shirt off. So that would make the picture not gay. I mean, I feel that we're back in this fundamental question. There are two important questions, which is, are traps gay? And can gays be based? Is there such a thing as the based gay? My answer to the first question is yes. My answer to the second question is no. Stephen Robinson says, Bert is an extreme alcoholic. Men Like God says, Owen has videos of him doing naked gay games. Of course, his followers are called bears. And Shady Jesus says, Bert questions his heterosexuality a lot on Tom Segura's show. Okay, thank you for... I mean, I will categorize this guy as very likely gay. Just because he's, I'm not drawing conclusions, but I think that he's doing it in a provocative manner, which tells me he has at least this excitation in the mind at leaving the potential, the possibility there. And that is a feature of gayness, you know, this whole provocative, I want to display my pride type of thing. Watcher Guru says, U.S. judge threatens to sanction SEC liars for convincing a court to freeze a crypto firm's assets on their false and misleading claims. It's good that there's at least a judge that is holding the SEC to a higher standard. But that is... I think the SEC will still continue to do much havoc in the crypto world. Alert, Raz Alert says, former police officer Derek Chauvin, convicted of killing George Floyd, was stabbed 22 times in a prison attack last week. So we now have more details. The person who stabbed him said that he wanted to celebrate Black Friday as a symbolic connection to the Black Lives Matter movement. So not surprising, but we do learn that Derek Chauvin basically got targeted by a BLM supporter and received 22 knife hits. An important information exposed by Jack Posobiec. I don't know if someone else is the original finder of this information, but the guy who tried to kill Derek Chauvin with 22 knife stabs is an FBI agent. He is currently in jail because, as part of being an FBI agent, in 2001, he got involved and got 30 years in prison for getting involved with the Mexican mafia. And he was originally an undercover. He was originally an undercover for the FBI, but got too excited in committing crimes. And so he ended up committing too many crimes for the FBI's taste, and they ended up putting him in jail. So John Tursak is the man. He's 52. He has been charged with attempted murder of Derek Chauvin. Tursak stabbed Chauvin 22 times with an improvised knife. And in 2001, the reason he ended up in jail: former FBI informant gets 30 years in prison. A former Mexican mafia member who admitted carrying out a number of crimes while working as an undercover FBI informant was sentenced Monday in Los Angeles federal court to 30 years in prison. John Tursak, 30, expressed bitter, blah, blah, blah. So very, very important thing here. Because this is a guy who previously committed crime for the government, and now he seems to be committing a crime that's very much in line with what the FBI seemingly would want, or what the left would want in general, at least. DK Shadow says, oh, an informant, not an agent. Oh, okay, is there a difference? I'm sorry if I used the term interchangeably. I thought that this was the same thing, but you're right. Informant would be someone from the outside, but who's receiving maybe money for doing what he's doing. And an agent would be an employee. I guess that the distinction at times is worth. So, all right. Rolls Royce stolen using an antenna. So that is incredible. The amount of intellectual effort. The amount of intellectual effort to develop these technologies to steal cars. And we have, you know, in modern cars, pretty much most modern cars, they have a chip in the key, and the car will refuse to start if the car doesn't detect the chip in the surrounding. So when you have your key at home, you would think you are secure. But here's what they do. They use an amplifier of the chip's Wi-Fi signal. And there's one guy that stands close to the house, uses the amplifier to amplify so that the car believes that the key is close. Look at this. So this guy is as an antenna. With the antenna, he's catching the signal from the house. And somehow he's catching it with the triangle antenna. And boom, the other person is in the car, capable of starting the car. DK Shadow says, classic replay attack. Yeah, I mean, it's a thing in so many fields in the crypto sphere. Also, it exists. You know, this idea that you get someone to emit their signature on a test net. You gather their action, and then you transfer it onto a main net where they end up having given you, you change the message a little bit, and they end up having given you the keys to their Bitcoin, or they end up having given the permission to something happening on the blockchain. Raised Fist says, JF, that's why I keep my key in a Faraday box. Everybody should do this with its modern key. Okay, or just buy the Mirage. No one wants to steal the Mirage. Personally, I choose cars that systematically are not the target of criminals. If you buy these luxury cars, you have more value to protect. You have more value to attract the criminals. Oh my God, I'm tired and exhausted to be speaking with my otitis, because every word hurts in my ear. That is just what it is. That is what an otitis ear is. And I'm wondering if I'm getting these otitis because I've been vaccinated. I'm wondering if because I saw the data on more otitis in a clinic where they had both homeschooled unvaccinated people and they had more public school vaccinated people, and the otitis rate was much higher in vaccinated people. And I'm wondering if because I was vaccinated, because I was marked by the mark of the devil, perhaps this is my punishment. I have to suffer ear pain. Speaker's Corner says, you got vaccine? What? No, I didn't get the COVID vaccine. No, but as a young person, you know, I've received the basic vaccines for my generation. I'm now anti-vax, but I wasn't anti-vax like 5 years ago. So at this point in my life, I wouldn't take the vaccines, but I did get a lot of vaccines back in the days. And I'm wondering if I'm part of these people who may have had their immune system ruined by vaccines. I'm wondering if I would suffer from these otitis. It's important because my grandma died from an otitis. I mean, you could argue that she was getting weak and she was getting extremely weak, and perhaps anything could have killed her at this point. But in the end, she ended up converting an otitis into a brain infection and died. And so I have to be careful with with inflammation of my head, because it may be the last thing that kills me. Justin, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried on suicide watch while in detention. But SBF, they dealt with his case so quickly. They found him guilty. They gave him a sentence. He's going to spend a lot of time in jail. And so now he's desperate. E. Michael Jones says, this is blatant genocide and ethnic cleansing, and no one seems able to stop them. That was traditionally America's role, but the Biden administration is now run by Jews who openly side with Israel. Yeah, I think that Israel will not recover from the absolute failure of their operation in terms of convincing the public, because they don't control the media enough anymore. With Elon Musk at X, if it wasn't of Elon Musk's control of X, you know, with an E. Michael Jones banned, with me banned, with pretty much anyone who could comment against this banned, it might have gone different. They might have had the equivalent of the Ukraine PSYOP. You know how the NAFO people, they were all butts and farms of Ukraine supporters, and they kind of succeeded at making it look like Twitter was Ukraine flags in the bio and everything. They kind of succeeded at making it look for a moment like there was no pushback to the Ukraine war. But Israel has totally failed. And that's largely due to Elon Musk's taking serious means for some degree of pushback to be expressible on the platform. So I don't think Israel will recover. They are, you have a whole generation that will rise right now. They will remember how Israel committed the genocide of a place that used to exist, that used to be populated by Palestinians. Putin urges Russian women to have 8 or more children in order to make large families the norm in Russia. That is a very encouraging order, and I hope that he is successful at it. But the divorce rate in Russia is totally blackpilling. You're going to have to fix divorce, fix marriage in Russia before you get back to this tradition. However, because Russia doesn't do this kind of extreme immigration practice of Western civilization, one can think that they will have the evolutionary time to do to fight back the demographic decline due to divorce and to eventually fix divorce within a population that will still be white by then. Here I am, the richest man in the world, philo-Semite, climate crusader, and I still get shit from idiots. Well, Elon, this is not the right approach. You don't get you don't understand Jewish pressure on American culture. As long as you think that being a fellow Semite will save you, they are as hard onto dissident Jews, like Gilad Atzmon, for example, who I've had on my show. They go hard on him. You know, they cancel anyone that's not adopting the right ideology that they want. And it doesn't matter that you're a philo Semite. To them, it's about, are you in line with their political interest or not? And if not, you're a non-person. And you need to be unpersoned, definancialized. You need to be deprived of advertiser money. And we have here Walmart joining in the bashing of Elon Musk. Walmart suspends all advertising on X. I don't know that they were a big buyer of advertising. I don't know that it matters. But I say bullshit to their reasoning. They say they don't get much engagement from the Twitter crowd. Bullshit. They say they get better engagement from other markets of ads. Currently, Twitter is at its highest in terms of use. I don't think, and Facebook is becoming this kind of boomer enclave, this boomer natural reservation. So I don't think it's true that you are not getting activity from your Twitter ads. Steven Robinson says, JF, did you see Elon's robot shooting up the Cybertruck? Well, it's a fake video. It's CGI. Now, if you want to see it, I do have it here. I can show it to you. But no, and this is why, you know, Steven Robinson, half of the stuff you send me is deceptive, edited, clipped, out of context, or like this, CGI. Now, yes, it's very interesting to think that this could happen, but it's not happening. It's CGI.
Yeehaw. Your weapon, sir. Thank you, Stuart. Fire in the hole. Awesome. Way to go. We did it, Stuart.
I mean, can you imagine when this is sent into Gaza? Can you imagine when a million of those are advancing onto a fleeing Arab population? I mean, it's happening. It's going to happen very soon. The robots are still very costly. They are still not fully independent in decision making, but a couple of problems technically need to be solved, and they will do exactly this. They will be basically replacing humans in circumstances where you're extremely likely to die. And there will be a point at which the resistance against such armies of robots is extremely costly. It's like, okay, you can blow up one of these robots, but you're going to have losses. There's going to be other robots ready to shoot you as you approach to put your bomb onto them. And at some point, it's going to be a matter of how many rockets do you have to blow up these robots? John Drake says, I wish it would stay CGI. Yeah, unfortunately, we are headed very bad. Since my voice is not doing perfect and I'm starting to feel the otitis and sinus inflammation, I'm going to end the show here and I will leave you on someone else speaking. Quite brilliant speaker. I don't know who that Indian woman is, but she has very important things to say. So I will leave you with her a couple of minutes before I turn down the show. Bye-bye, everyone. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.
I'd like all of you to think of me as a time traveler from the not-too-distant future, coming back to the present to offer you a glimpse of what could lie ahead for America. I live in a time in which, in the name of fairness, you can't share the stories you write for my news publication on social media. I live in a time in which, in the name of the common good, you can be kicked out of your bank and online payment system simply for expressing the wrong political views. I live in a time in which, in the name of social justice, you can commit a serious crime but get a more lenient sentence if you happen to be the right skin color. I live in a time in which, in the name of safety, you can be arrested for exercising your right to peaceful protest if you happen to be protesting the wrong thing. Of course, I'm not a real time traveler. I just live in Canada. Americans, and perhaps those in this chamber, surely think Canadians are too nice. We're too polite to embrace this sort of proto-authoritarianism. But it's more accurate to say that our niceness made us susceptible to the new authoritarianism, undermining the foundations of our liberal democracy. If it sounds like I'm overstating things, allow me to share three stories that illustrate this creeping authoritarianism. First, a few months ago, I reported a story from my publication, The Free Press, about a high school principal in Toronto who had been humiliated in front of his colleagues by a DEI consultant. The principal's crime, besides being white and male, was that he objected to the consultant's assertion that Canada is a less just society than America. The humiliation he experienced ultimately led him to commit suicide. I wanted to share that story on Facebook. When I tried to, I was barred from posting it. I received a message that stated, in response to Canadian government legislation, news content can't be shared. I was confused. Then I remembered the recently adopted Online News Act. The law forces social media companies to pay online media companies to link to their content. Facebook, instead of paying for that content, barred its users from posting it. Government officials insist that this was only a matter of fairness, a way of making sure that media companies are compensated for the news they report. But really, this new law props up legacy media dinosaurs like the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Bell Media, and other companies, which are subsidized by the federal government, and all of which can be counted on to echo Justin Trudeau's worldview and toe the party line. Not being able to post was annoying, but it wasn't the end of the world for me. I don't depend on Facebook for my income. The same cannot be said of Christopher Curtis, which brings me to my second story. Chris is a 38-year-old renegade journalist entrepreneur in Montreal who runs a digital newsletter called The Rover. He calls himself woke. You might think that he's exactly the kind of journalist the Trudeau government would elevate. He's on the political left. He publishes stories about the plight of the homeless and police brutality. The problem is that, unlike government-funded news companies, independent media companies are truly independent, which means they report stories that don't comport with whatever the government wants them to report. For example, in September 2020, The Rover reported a story on federal mistreatment of Mohawk Indians. This month, it published a story about migrant workers who had been abused and trafficked with the unwitting help of the federal government. But under this new law, The Rover can't build its audience. Unable to post content on Facebook or Instagram, the newsletter can't reach new subscribers. It cannot grow its subscriber base. This is a slow death, says Chris. For now, he's unsure how he's going to support his partner and their 3-year-old daughter. He's thinking... Thank you.